Blog Talk Radio.
Network episode 544. I'm your host, Steve Canine Kim from the city of Los Angeles, but joining us from the Golden Gate City, as always, Golden Gate Gabe Montoya. Gabe, good Monday to you.
Good Monday to you, sir. It was kind of a grim weekend, but you know, at the very least, the weather's been nice. So there's that.
This is truly the dog days of summer in the month of August, just counting down the weeks till the full slate of boxing really comes back, but we'll see what we can do. Once again, we are here at 7 p.m. Eastern time for at least 90 minutes and perhaps a little bit more bonus coverage of the next round, depending on your participation. If you want to call in, 347-215-7598. We'll open up those phone lines in about 15 to 20 minutes, 347-215-7598. If you want to get in a question via Twitter, please tag us at SteveUCNLive and at Gabriel_Montoya. But let's get started with round number one. It was the PBC on Spike from the Prudential Center in Newark, New Jersey. We have a new WBO cruiserweight titleist, Christoph Glowacki, the stoppage in 11 rounds over Marco Huck in what could be considered a stunning upset in heavyweight action. Steve Cunningham and Antonio Tarver with a well-earned draw, because quite frankly, neither guy deserved to win. Gabe, looking at Glowacki Huck, it was a good fight. It had a dramatic ending. Maybe a round of the year candidate in round six, but I'm going to give a popular or an unpopular opinion. I think it was a good fight. But again, I think there's some pom-pom waving when people say, OMG, fight of the year. If that's the fight of the year, then 2015 really must have not had that many good fights.
I don't think it has had that many good fights. But, you know, it's still, I mean, it's a good fight. I was a little bit of a disadvantage because I watched it, I watched it on tape delay. But so I already knew what was going to happen, and I already knew that the pom-poms were out and everybody was getting out their English to hyperbole dictionaries to heap praise on this thing. But, it was a good fight. It was a good round. But even that round, I mean, it was round of the year. Was it a round where a guy got caught and Marco Huck, who is one of the sloppier guys to keep a world title. His technique is kind of it smoothed out over the years. But there was a time when he made Ponce de Leon look like a sweet scientist. It looked like a guy that didn't really know how to finish, considering the level that he's been at. He got caught coming in. They fought for a bit. It was heated action, but it was also kind of a lot of misses. It wasn't, to me, fight of the year. I mean, it was a good fight. But I think people are – this is the thing that we talked about again and again with the PBC. They create this narrative. They make things bigger than it really is. That's not what we needed in boxing.
I'll just say this, and again, and people can disagree, and I was at two fights ringside in 2015, Orlando Salido losing his title to Rocky Martinez, and then a week later, Lucas Matisse edging out Ruslan Provodnikov. I think those two fights for sustained action and skill, which means not actually just throwing punches, but get this, actually landing them and setting something up and having a certain acumen, a certain technique. I think both those fights were superior in terms of having action from rounds 1 to round 12, where it's sustained, it's consistent, it's steady, there's not a lot of lulls. And when you're the PBC and you've set such a low bar, well, maybe you become the recipient of that low bar. And Gabe, Steve Cunningham, Antonio Tarver had a very, very low bar. and they couldn't even clear it. What a horrific fight.
Yeah, it's just hilarious. I'm like, premier boxing champions, you know, is this, as opposed to the, you know, the next round, this is what, the seniors edition? What is this? Both guys are old. I mean, okay, they look good for old guys, but I mean, this was kind of old crappy heavyweights, as my brother Tom would so poetically say. This is great. Why are we so excited? You know, the thing that struck me most about watching that fight was that we're going to see both of these guys again.
There's no
question. Yeah, at least two more times each guy. I was like, well, this is the problem with the PBC, is that everybody's earned their spot. Like, we're all on this show, and we're not going to be canceled till at least the end of next year. So everybody, we're good. It eliminates desire. Like, Steve Cunningham did an interview, like a roundtable with the media, and he basically, you know, he had said, you know, he was comparing being with Main Event and now being with Al, and that Al takes care of all the little things, and that, you know, all I have to do is look good in these fights. And he said fights. So I knew that he knew that he's got one, you know, another one coming after this, and probably another one after that, because they've got all these dates to fill. And so, you know, and he's certainly, and, you know, Al's got different levels at the different weights. These guys, you know, fights and bodies, you know, have to be thrown out there. So I don't understand. Is there a desire to win? How do you be the best in the PBC? I mean, Keith Thurman can't really move jockey for position because his fate is up to Al Haymon and the other guys that he wants to face who may not want to face him. This isn't really a league. It's just a collection of guys being marketed in a specific way. Does that make sense?
Yes, it does. And Steve Cunningham, Antonio Tarver is a fight that I would describe as one guy who couldn't and one guy that wouldn't, and I'm not so sure which guy was which. I think you could best describe this as the Deontay Wilder Invitational Elimination bout. And quite frankly, based on their performance, I think they both eliminated themselves. However, because of their association, it is not out of the realm of possibility when you look at some of the guys that are being thrown up as the B-side to the PBC. I mean, I'm not going to lie to you. The guy that Deontay Wilder is fighting in September on the 26th, that Frenchman who's rated number 12 by the WBC, Gabe, again, this is what I call another Box Rec special, because when you hear the name, you have to go to Box Rec to figure out who the hell he is.
Well, we know he's better than Marius Wach, not quite as good as Erkan Tepper. You know, he's squeezed in there number 12. I mean, maybe I'm just, you know, not that guy that you know, knows every single fighter on the planet and has seen every tape of every obscure guy. I mean, you know, but you know, at the same time, I just, gosh, you look at it and you look at the overall picture of the PBC, and it's not, I mean, it's not terrible. It's not like the end of the world, but it's not what's being foisted on me. And everywhere I go, you know, I'm not trying to be negative. I'm trying to take the long view, and let's see it. Let's see it after next year, at the end of 2016, when the scheduled experiment is complete, then we'll fully know. But right now, yeah, I'm not excited. I mean, that fight reminded me of, Tarver Cunningham reminded me of, I was sitting at the wild card one day watching two heavyweights. I don't even really know who they were. And it was not a good sparring session, about three or four rounds. And Jesse Reed was standing there. And I asked him at one point, you know, what do you think? You know, and I kind of nodded at the guy that seemed to be winning. He's like, not much. And I think less of the other guy. That's all I could think of watching that fight. It's just, you know, I mean, oh, he got buzzed. Well, you know, when does Steve Cunningham not get buzzed anymore? These guys are old. Why are we putting them on TV?
Deontay Wilder against French, what's his face? The best thing you could say is, Gabe, it's free! Moving on to other boxing news. Gabe, after weeks and maybe months, not quite years, of waiting, it has been announced November 21st at the Mandalay Bay in Las Vegas. Miguel Cotto will take on Saul Alvarez in defense of his WBC 155 middleweight title. The WBC has mandated that the winner of this fight must fight the winner of the October 17th battle between Gennady Golovkin and David Lemieux. Now, listen, I'm a realist. I think we take pride in being very pragmatic about our approach to boxing on this show. Gabe, what do you think are the actual chances of that scenario taking place, the winner of October 17th facing the winner of November 21st?
Well, that's a good question. I mean, it just seems, one, the fights have to happen. And so, do you think that the winner of Cotto Canelo really does anyone's bidding, or they try to, throw their weight around? Does the winner of Golovkin Lemieux do the same thing? I mean, there's mandates and then there's mandates. I don't know. What do you think? I mean, you seem to be closer to the parties.
I believe that the winner of October 17th certainly wants the fight. I think the question is, as it relates to Cotto Canelo, is not who wins the fight, but the actual caliber of the fight. Because if it is a barn burner, and let's say it's a real fight of the year, something that's legendary, let's say Trinidad Vargas-esque in its action, in its appeal, and it's a 115-113 split decision type of fight, well, there's going to be an incredible demand for a rematch. And at that point, and if not already, they transcend the belt. They could just literally say, we're going to do a best of seven. Let Golovkin or Lemieux have that green belt. We're going to continue to make money with ourselves, and we're no worse for wear. So I think before we start planning out what happens in 2016 in this scenario, we got to figure out exactly what are the tenor of those matchups, and then we'll go from there. Gabe, what I find interesting is Golovkin Lemieux, the pre-sale was on Monday. Literally, by the time they've even gone to the press conferences, which start tomorrow on Tuesday in New York, Gabe, they have sold about 12,000 tickets. I'll be surprised if they don't sell this out. And I thought when they first made this announcement, I set the over-under at 15,000. Gabe, Golovkin Lemieux is an absolute barn burner in terms of ticket sales early on.
Well, I mean, it's a real fight, fights sell themselves. And this fight, is just, it's pure action. I don't think it's going to go that long. I don't think anybody thinks it's going to go that long, but it's, that's not, that's not a bad thing in this case. It just doesn't surprise me. And the way that K2 has put this, just marketed this guy. Sorry, I'm getting messages about the show echoing. I'm hoping it's not that. I think it's just that guy's player, hopefully. The way they've built Triple G as an attraction, it doesn't surprise me that as soon as he got a real opponent, somebody that, everybody's been wanting him to face somebody dangerous presents themselves, and they're facing that guy the way a champion should. It's just got excitement around it. It reminds you of the 80s and the 90s. People want to see guys that can turn the other one's lights out in a second. So the sales didn't surprise me at all.
Once again, Tom Loeffler and K2, they priced this to sell. They are working in volume. I believe 60% of the arena or more is $100 or less. I think about half the tickets are $50. And there is a real secondary market. Our good friend Matt Swider has a friend by the name of Darren. Now we actually stayed at his house or his apartment in New York City for the Gabriel Rosado Golovkin fight in January of, 2013. And he's what I call a general casual boxing fan. He watches it about 6-7 times a year. He is certainly on the Golovkin bandwagon. And what I'm told by Matt is once he saw how fast the tickets were going on Ticketmaster last week, he ended up buying about 6 more $200 tickets. He got rid of them, Gabe, each for over $600. So people are certainly splitting the tickets. They are certainly flipping them. And, Gabe, I don't know what's going to happen with the Alvarez-Cotto tickets. Many people have asked me for the ticket sales. Here's what I think, Gabe. With only 12,000 seats in that venue at the Mandalay Bay Event Center, I think the scalpers and the brokers are going to have an absolute field day. This is what you call a seller's market.
It's such a shame. I really felt that a fight like this, Cotto is the middleweight champion of the world, the linear. He talks about history. I guess this is where it shows that the history of boxing is just kind of an ever-changing beast. It's not something that, it's not like other leagues. It's not like, the Hall of Fame where you can really trace it back. But even that, the beginnings are a little bit fractured. This fight should have been, because the Mexican-Puerto Rico rivalry could have drawn so many people and made it such a truly special event. I don't know, anywhere but where it's at. I mean, I like that event. I'm glad that, you know, they should use it more, but it should have been like, I don't know, somewhere else to me.
Well, I'm going to say this again. It may not make me popular in San Juan, but there was a guy who did not want this fight in Texas for whatever reason, and Texas has venues that could hold 40 to 50 to 60,000 patrons. His name? Well, it isn't Saul Alvarez. Let's just put it that way. Okay, we have an epidemic in boxing. Everyone is partying like it's 1999. Last week, James Toney fought to disastrous results. Roy Jones fought on this Nouveau card, which was like cable access quality last night. Glenn Johnson fought and lost on Saturday. And now Antonio Margarito, to paraphrase LL Cool J, call it a comeback. Gabe, this has always been a part of boxing, but even when you see it now, I'll be honest, I like Margarito. I've been a big fan of his in the past. I just think it's a terrible idea. The guy's eye is not well. They got the cash out against Cotto back in 2011. It's been 3.5, 4 years since he fought. I don't know. It just seems like a very reckless idea. Am I off base?
Steve, no, absolutely. Absolutely not. I mean, I just think, you know, we live in a really interesting time in terms of our media. You came in, you know, you and I particularly, we're of that generation that can remember boxing when it was badass, when Roberto Duran and Hagler's stalked the land looking for challenges. But, you know, we also were real journalists covering the sport, covering the real issues of the thing. And nowadays, it seems like with social media and all this and web technology, everybody's designing their sites and their coverage based on how they can get more traffic. There's few sites that don't do that. I like your site. I've always liked the way you've approached the news and covering things. You guys are thorough. But like, when you look at these things, like really, this is the media's responsibility. It's part of the boxing writer's job, I think. But you got all these guys fighting that shouldn't be fighting. How are they getting licenses? I know there's a million commitments, but to be a guy that's covering the sport, that's responsible, that shines a light on this stuff and not writing about it afterwards, but writing about it before and several times until something happens. I mean, James Toney can't talk. That's just a fact. Roy Jones, people can say, well, he's beating up club fighters. Some guy was arguing with me today. He's beating up quote unquote bums. So what does it matter that, you know, I'm like, well, for one thing, that guy's brain, you know, he shouldn't be getting licensed just so he can be knocked out by Roy Jones. But Roy Jones is 46. And last time he stepped up to the top level with Lebedev, that was like one of the scarier knockouts I've ever seen. And he's been stopped several times now like that. So I don't understand what people are hoping to get. How is this Mosley Mayorga fight really rolling forward, considering how Shane ended his last fight? You know, all this stuff is just disaster waiting to happen. And I think the media is just not prepared to, by and large, not prepared or not willing to take it on. They should.
Yeah, I got to tell you, it's interesting. I was told by a very good source that there's a fly in the ointment as it relates to Antonio Margarito if he wants to fight in the States. It's the fact that he is still suspended in the state of New York where he last held his last prize fight. So we'll see where this goes. I don't know what to say anymore. It is what it is. It reminds me of that line in the original Rocky when Adrian and Rocky went on their first date, a very romantic setting at the closed ice rink where Rocky, like the gentleman he is, had to bribe the guy for 10 minutes on the ice, and they're skating around in a circle. And Adrian asked Rocky, why do you fight? And Rocky counterpunched by saying, because I can't sing or dance. And it holds true in these sentences, in these instances, that the likes of James Toney, Roy Jones, Shane Mosley, Antonio Margarito, and Glenn Johnson, boxing is not just what they do. In many respects, it's what they are. And it's something very difficult to let go. And it reminds me of the last line from Jim Bouton. Jim Bouton wrote this historic book called Ball Four, which is an intimate look at behind the scenes of an everyday Major League Baseball player in the clubhouse. It's a very controversial book because it really lifted the curtain and it really gave us a realistic look at what these players and athletes do. And Jim Bouton said And I think in the last page, he said, all these years, I was gripping a baseball. I didn't realize it was gripping me. I think that really is apropos as it relates to these particular situations. Other news and notes coming up, but if you want to call in, 347-215-7598. This is episode 544, the next round on the Leave It in the Ring radio network with Gabriel Montoya and Steve Kim. Let's get to some of the tweets here before we move on to the calls. Of course, leading off, our first man, the president, Andrew V. Kennedy. Any early word on how Lemieux's camp is thinking about approaching the Gennady-Golovkin fight? Seems like he'll need to go for broke early game. Square pegs can't die round. Lemieux's got to be Lemieux, doesn't he?
Yeah, I think, you know, a fighter has to be themselves. I mean, I did an interview that I put out earlier today with Steven Edwards, and we talked about that. A fighter has to be themselves. His fighter gets criticized because he's kind of not cautious, but measured paced and you know, just kind of slowly chops his opponent down, goes for the kill once he knows they're just completely ragged. And that's his personality. That's how he fights. And I think Lemieux, you know, he's got to keep the punch frame nice and tight inside of Gennady's, you know, punches, which I think he's learned how to do. He's, you know, he doesn't have the longest reach, but, you know, they actually both don't have the longest reach in the world. So that's going to be interesting. It's how they use him. I guess that defines them. You know, he's got to be stay low and in control. And I think, you know, he can land some shots, and we're going to find out if he can land it, you know, and we're going to find out what that chin is all about. It's going to be an exciting fight, man. I envy you that you're going.
Yeah, Gabe, I think for Lemieux to have a realistic chance, he can't be reckless, but as they say, he's got to be willing to die with his boots on. Here's one from Joshua. I've never asked this before, outside of 28 other times, but talk about the Provodnikov-Rios possibility. Well, Gabe, it looks like Rios against Tim Bradley is headed to Bolivian, and Ruslan Provodnikov has always been willing to take any fight. For a guy that everyone says is so easy, one-dimensional, simplistic, you know what's funny? If that was all true, he'd have a much easier time getting fights. Now, I talked to his promoter, Artie Palullo, last Friday, who said, we have an option that to go back to Russia on October 24th with or without HBO, and they're going to make a lot of money. I think this is the time right now where HBO, which has a very lean second half of the schedule, I don't know how many nickels and dimes they have left, but this is why I tell Aaron, Bob, we're not doing top incest. If you can't bring Bradley and Rios to the table, we want Rios Provodnikov.
And Rios himself tweeted out, you know, fuck it, let's do it. You know, bring on Provodnikov. I can't disagree with him. I think he knows it's the fight. We all want the fight. Let's do it. It could have fight of the year written all over it. You know, is it have division implications? Well, I think maybe we're all just taking that off the table these days anyways, it seems. Because the PBC is just the PBC and everybody else is everybody else. And you know, the thing is, guys just fight people from France or wherever. And, you know, it doesn't matter who they're fighting anymore. So, yeah, bring me that fight. I think it's just guaranteed action. Styles, you know, I'm still leaning towards Provodnikov. As much as Rios wants that fight, I'm not sure if he wants that fight.
Boxing fanatic, my question for the show is, any real chance Loma Rigo gets made, Gabe?
Yeah, there's definitely a chance. I mean, I think they've got to come together on the weight. It's kind of weird. It seemed like it seemed somewhat in progress, and now it seems like it's completely stalled. I mean, do you think that fight proves anything, though, or is that just a scalp for Lomachenko?
It's one of those fights for the purists where people are going to be very excited over a fight where punches may not land for rounds at a time.
I think it would be more aggressive than that just because of Lomachenko's style. But I'm just thinking in terms of size. I mean, Rigo's like an 18, a 22. He's not a 26. And I don't think that's going to be, you know, Lomachenko's last stop. You know what I mean? I just don't think it's just a fight that doesn't really interest me a whole hell of a lot. Sort of like Triple G and Ward. I just don't think of them as size.
I don't know what issues are keeping this fight from happening, whether it's the catch weight, whether it's a hydration clause, but I'll say this. Based on their standing with a promoter, one of them has one in Top Rank, the other one got dumped by Top Rank, and more importantly, their access to getting a network date with HBO, I don't see what leverage Rigondeaux really has. When he starts making demand or insisting on certain things, Someone needs to tell him he hasn't fought this year, and the last time he fought, he was relegated to fighting in the land of the rising sun. That's
seriously
the reality.
That's like if you find me on a raft in the middle of the ocean and you're on a cruise liner, I don't start negotiating that I'm going to be sleeping in the captain's quarters. I'm just happy to get on board. You know,
and
I
just want to make this clear. He only brought up the raft as an analogy, not because a Cuban who defected was the subject matter. We want to make that very clear here on the Leave It in the Ring radio network. And here's one from Dan R. If someone writes that Tarver Cunningham was a, quote, good fight, they got to be shilling, right? Cough, Raphael, cough. Wait a minute. Did Dan Raphael actually say Tarver Cunningham was good? Surely you jest. There's no way. Did he actually say that, Gabe?
I think it was not bad or good. It was, you know, but it wasn't as good as the cruiserweight fight. I think it was how he, something like that. I saw it in passing and just kind of went, wow, Dan. He's, you know, Dan has always been a guy that's not afraid to curry favor with who he thinks he needs to curry favor with. He needs people to pick up the phone because he's not on the beat. He's not there. He's not showing up at their office. So, you know, I guess, you know, he's just kind of, that's just always been my observation of him, is when Golden Boy was on top, he was all about Golden Boy and Showtime. It seemed like, you know, and then when things change, he goes that way. I guess that's what Dan Richard Schaefer meant by, you know, write more positive stories.
Gabe, I let people have their opinions, and I'm not going to try to shove mine down anyone else's, but I'll just say it like this. I'll disagree with that one. If Dan thinks that was a good fight, I don't ever want to be present when there is a bad one. Gabe, one other issue here before we take some of the calls. HBO's last real boxing broadcast was on July 25th, and they're not going to have one till October 3rd. Now, usually they take a summer siesta in August, but this time they're taking all of August and September. Gabe, I'll say it like this. I've enjoyed Ballers. I love Inside Sports or Real Sports. Another episode comes out tomorrow night. but the main reason I subscribe to the home box office is boxing. Now I understand they have a budget. They're not going to have a fight every week. Maybe I'm nuts, but I find this to be a little bit unacceptable as an HBO subscriber, because I don't want to hear, but they have Canelo Cotto and Lemieux Golovkin coming up. Okay, let me douse a little water on that. Gabe, last I checked, that's going to cost you a little bit extra on the cable bill, is it not?
Yeah, those are pay-per-views, Jim. Yeah, that's not going to work. And, you know, I think that I don't understand. You know, I don't really, you know, why. I mean, True Detective was an absolute disaster. I'm not sure what they got going on after that. So, you know, the first season's great. Second season was like, good Lord. I literally didn't even bother watching the finale. I just read about it.
Really? You gave up?
I got all the
you
way to the end.
You threw in the towel? You quit?
Yeah, I did the same thing the season finale of or the last season of 24 before they brought it back for yet another season a few years later. Like, got to like three or four episodes away from the end and was like, this is awful. I'm not going to do this just because I have a habit. You know, it's kind of how I feel about boxing. If it's a terrible fight, like watching Tarver Cunningham, I was like, this is some bullshit. I got to watch this thing because we got to talk about it. And, you know, I got things I could be doing. And but this fight, it's part of the new PBC, New World Order. It's free. This is great. Even the Butte fight. I mean, sweet Buddha. You know, I mean, I got to watch him have a tune-up. I mean, I'm surprised Andre Ward isn't in the PBC. He'd be all about it.
If you want to call in, 347-215-7598, and tell us, was Christoph Glowacki Hawk your fight of the year, Gabe?
All right. CT, you're leading off. You're live on the next round. CT?
Oh, my God. Don't tell me he struck out like Mighty Casey at the bat. Wow.
Let's try that again. Yeah, I don't know what happened there. 787, you're live on the next round.
Uh-oh. This is an inauspicious debut.
I'm not happy about how this is going down right now. How about the 619? You're live on the next round. 619. Wow.
Gabe, are you sure we're not having technical difficulties here, like the new broadcast last night?
We might be having a little bit of a technical difficulty here. Just give me 1 second, and I will see what I can do, pulling up another version of the old studio. How about that Mayorga too? Is it weird, just as I'm filling, trying to get something else pulled up here? All the press releases we're getting from Mosley Mayorga 2 Central, wasn't actually married to me. And then it's been, he's fighting a lawsuit with Don King, who says he's got Mayorga and this fight can't happen. Does that seem a little strange to you? Is Mosley having some sort of manic episode?
Well, promotion has had a bizarre, unusual feel. And people are saying to me, Steve, are you really planning to be there on August 29th? And I've said, yes, if there's actually an event to go to, I will be there. And they say, why? And I say, very simply, morbid curiosity.
Let's try this again. In the 860, you're live on the next round.
This is not good, Gabe.
Yeah. It's I'll tell you what's happening is that I'm hitting the button as normal. It's kind of turns a different color, then it turns red. That means the person's on as normal, and then it kicks it back over. It's like not letting me pull up anybody. Let's try Dave. This is really strange. And I've done a whole new page. Dave, are you there? You're live on the next round, hopefully. Nope.
Okay, we are striking out more than Rob Deere and Dave Kingman.
I'm striking out more than me when I was living in Los Angeles.
Let me tell you,
just a throwback to Mr. McAfoley. 650, you're live on the next round. 650? Anything?
Gabe, I think it's pretty clear we have some technical difficulties here.
Yeah. Well, luckily we don't have a whole hell of a lot to talk about. How about 619? You're live on the next round. 619?
Hello?
Yes!
Hello?
Hey.
Hello?
It's Juan.
Juan!
What's up, Juan?
I can't hear you guys. I can't hear my voice, so I think you're beeping. I think the second time you come to me, but I'm here.
Well, what's up, man? What's on your mind?
What is on your mind?
Well, first of all, you're right about True Detective, Gabe. I just gave out at the third or fourth episode. I was really hyped up because the first season was great. But you're right. We don't have to watch just to watch. So the same thing goes with boxing. I didn't watch this weekend's PBC because I figured Antonio Tarver, is this 1998 or what year is it? You know, that guy should have been retired a long time ago. And the fact that he got a draw, I don't know what to think about that. But still, we don't have to eat shit and we don't have to eat shit. I hear the Marco Hug fight was good, but really, what I really want to talk about is I want you to, I don't know if you guys know, but how much does a company like HBO actually spend making a fight like the Triple G fight against Lemieux? Why does it have to be pay-per-view? Can you give me a little bit more insight on that, like the broadcasting fees, or how does that work?
Well, other than the HBO, from what I've been told, has a budget of about $30 to $35 million. Okay, and the problem is with this particular fight is, number one, HBO spent a lot of money in the first half making what was a very strong lineup. Now, believe it or not, Gabe, this is interesting. I thought for sure Lemieux was getting around $1 million to fight Gennady Golovkin October 17th. I'm hearing he's getting a guarantee of around $2 million, if not a little bit more. So basically, to order to satisfy both sides, you're no longer going to have those $5, $6 million fights on HBO. Those days are long gone. And even at $200,000 to $300,000 buys at $50 a shot, that'll create more revenue than any HBO license fee in 2015. And that's the reality, and that's the reason why this fight is on pay-per-view.
Yeah, and the question is because the fight, you know, it doesn't merit. If I pay $50 without fighting, I know I'm going to get a bang for my buck. But still, that was the kind of fight that some years in the past you would get on HBO Championship Boxing. And now we're getting to pay. And I understand the fact that there's a, you know, K2 on one side, Golden Boy on the other side, and you have to fulfill what they want. But still, just thinking about that number you gave out, like $50 times 250 or 300, that's going to be like $13 million. So I was figuring, how much do they actually spend to broadcast the whole thing? Other than the fighter salary and all that.
Juan, remember this, in a pay-per-view, whatever is derived from the total revenue has to then be split approximately 50-50 between the cable and satellite operators and the promotion. So if they do $13 million in revenue, that's really about $6.5 million to satisfy both ends. That's the mathematics that exist in the pay-per-view business model.
Wow, yeah, it's a whole different ballgame now for what I remember in the late 2000s and early 90s, a pay-per-view fight was a big fight between two superstars, but now it's just to fulfill what they want. But talking about the fight itself, you know, I'm getting a little bit nervous about this two-month layoff with HBO not having anything there. Like, why am I paying HBO now? You know, as you said, True Detective sucks, no Game of Thrones, and Bars, I haven't seen that. So I better cancel my subscription at least for the next 2 months, huh?
You know, here's the thing that really bothers me, Juan. I was told by somebody that, hey, Steve, you shouldn't be so down on Pacquiao Mayweather, no matter how it ends up and the way it turned out, because from all this money that everyone's making, we're going to put it back into some of our boxing budgets. Well, that hasn't happened. It almost seems like a political campaign where George Bush says, read my lips. No new taxes. Well, read HBO's lips. No new fights till October 3rd. Thanks a lot, guys.
All right, guys. That's all I got today. There's nothing going on, so just continue to listen.
All right, Juan, we appreciate it. Thank you very much. If you want to call in, we're going to try to work out these difficulties. That number is 347-215-7598.
Sweet Jesus, let's try this again. I can't even get rid of Juan. I can hear him in the background. Let's see if the boss can come on. Dave, the 209.
Hello.
Nope. This is crazy. I've like... Dave, can you hear us?
I guess not.
Well... says he's live. It's weird. It's like it's not picking up. Let's see if we can pick up the man in Queens. Mike, you're live on the next round. Nothing? Mike? Yeah, this is clearly a Blog Talk interface issue. This is not a TNR Gabe Montoya issue. I've done what I can. Let's go through all the numbers, though, because some of them apparently worked. 510, you're live on the next round.
Okay, anyone? Well, as we try to work out these issues, let's go through a tweet here. Here's from Paul DeLozier. If Floyd wants to face the winner of Cotto Canelo, will the WBC allow it? Let me just say this as it relates to Golovkin and K2 and their position with the WBC. They have a high-priced attorney that's kind of like seeing what they're doing. They're on this, and just remember this name, Graziano Roccagiani. Google that name along with the WBC, and this is a guy that was basically bypassed in some sort of championship finagling on behalf of, I believe, Roy Jones back in the late 90s, and he sued them for all he could. And basically, it has set a template that the WBC will bend rules, but they can't be so brazen about it. And I really believe that if they try any funny business as it relates to Golovkin, I believe that there will be serious litigation, which, let's put it this way. I'm not saying he's perfect. He's still under pressure. There are still business realities that exist. But I do think Mauricio Sulaiman is much more reasonable and lives in the real world much more than his father, Jose.
I think so. You know, I met with him up here in San Francisco when he was here for the NABF convention. And he just, I'm just observing him since his father passed and he's taken over the reins, he's all about unification and about the better parts of the WBC's legacy, helping, you know, fighters in need. With Pernell Whitaker, you know, had some financial problems, going to lose his house. WBC has a fund. They helped him out to keep it. But I think that he really cares about the integrity, and he doesn't like that the WBC has a bad name in some circles. It's going to be interesting seeing this going forward and seeing if these things get up. I mean, you can't call yourself a sanctioning body and then not play by your own rules.
Gabe, do we dare try another phone number here? Do we dare to go back to the phone lines?
This might just be that day. I'm going to thank Al Heyman in a second.
No, he'd like to thank us.
Yeah, seriously. Well, a bunch of calls dropped off, so we've only got three at this point. This is, you know, I've been doing Blog Talk for like 5 years. I would say once a year something weird like this happens, where it's just like, really? All right, I guess, you know, Dave gets really mad and just goes, I'm sorry, folks. That's all she wrote. Let me try the third. 585, you're live on the next round. Nope, you're not. 530, trying you. Yeah, none of these are working. I really don't know what to say other than I think we went through all our news and notes. 530, anything? You're live on the next round.
Gabe, I think this is the boxing gods telling us there's not a damn thing to really talk about. So I think this should be a truncated edition of the next round on the Leave It in the Ring radio network. Let's face it, there isn't a lot to talk about, and if we don't have calls... Well, Gabe, I've pretty much given you all that I got, in the words of Anita Baker.
Yeah, you know, this is kind of a throwback to the early days of TNR when we just did, you know, one take, 30 minutes in and out, you know. And, you know, sorry about that. I mean, literally, it's me screwing up. I would say, hey, I think it's me screwing up. But no, this is clearly some sort of website issue. So,
All right. Well, let's face it. when Lucien Bouté against Andrea De Luisi is the second most notable fight of any particular week, let's face it, folks, there wasn't a whole lot to talk about on this particular day. Here's what we'll do. For the next 5 to 10 minutes, if you send in a tweet to @SteveUCNLive or @GabrielMontoya, we will answer those tweets all the way up until about, let's say, 5 minutes to the top of the hour. So get your tweets in now or forever hold your peace. Again, @SteveUCNLive, @Gabriel_Montoya. Gabe, one other issue here. Don King, as you mentioned earlier, is trying to block this Shane Mosley fight. I guess you could say on one hand he might be doing Shane Mosley a favor because Shane has a lot of money on the line. But Don King, is he useful for anything else now other than getting in the way?
No. I mean, I guess he's just letting his presence be known. You know, it's like, but it's just strange, you know. Well, then also, I got this other press release right before the show of Shane Mosley's taking the controversial stance of caring about female boxing and putting Marina O'Shea on his card. And
Marina, what's so controversial, you know, about that?
Yeah, she's you know, an accomplished fighter. She's, you know, good, does good for the sport. Positive story. I've talked with her. Nice person. I don't understand why the weird press release headlines. Like, I just, the whole thing seems so surreal to me. But then you got a week where Antonio DeMarco unretires, you know, and returns against, you know, Omar Figueroa. And you just kind of go, what is this? You know, I mean, is he retiring? It's like, look, dude, don't worry. We'll just get a ref that, like, will stop the fight. But we need, Omar needs a body. Like, what is this? Like, I don't know what fights are, you know, what the sport does sometimes.
Here is a tweet from Joshua. Jesus Soto Cross against Kamagai, the Japanese fighter. Is it possible for November 21st? I think it's a great idea. I think this is the type of fight that is perfect for a fight like Cotto Canelo because it's a great warm-up act. I'll ask the Golden Boy matchmakers if they have that in mind. Here's one from Javier. And again, as I read this, just do it in Javier's voice, okay? Guys, what happened if Golovkin Lemieux is a fight of the year? Do you think the winner fights the winner of Canelo Cotto? I think we got to reiterate what we said a few minutes ago earlier. I think the winner of October 17th would absolutely salivate at the thought of facing the winner November 21st.
I don't know. What do you think? I'm sorry. I'm trying to redo this interface. Man, this just, I'm sorry, but you answer. I'm trying to fix this interface really fast. Sorry, man.
Okay, and here's a tweet from the president. Speaking of King, what's up with Amir Aman? You know, honestly, I really don't know, Prez. I think what's going to happen is he'll probably be farmed out on another Showtime/PBC card. Because let's face it, Don King doesn't do a lot of shows anymore. And let's see if there's any more tweets here.
That's Robert a shame, too, because that guy's a talent. You know, Amir Aman could really be something. And you know, flashy style, good personality. And it just, I don't understand why Don's allowed to do that with guys. And why guys are stupid enough to sign with him at this point?
Signing on with Don right now is like smoking cigarettes, knowing the Surgeon General's warning and the evidence of the past 30 years. That, you know, there was a time back in the 60s and 70s when you smoked, you really didn't know the impact it had on your body. Now you know that if you smoke and you get cancer, nobody's really feeling sorry for you. You did that to yourself. Sign with Don King now. You deserve whatever you get because you're making a very bad decision. This is no longer 1995. Robert Buffa asked, is Khan waiting to get Pacquiao next year or is he fighting again this year? Gabe, I have no idea. What is the plan? Because when Bob Arum throws out, well, Manny Pacquiao can fight Amir Khan. Here's the other issue. I think Bob is jabbing at everybody knowing Amir Khan, no matter what anyone says from what I know, is still with Al Haymon. That alone makes it a non-starter, doesn't it?
Yeah. I mean, and I don't know what Amir's doing. I haven't talked to him in a while. And it just, it's so strange. He's Dr. Al Haymon. They get there. And I mean, I guess we're waiting for his turn at bat. I just, you know, post Algieri, there's not a lot of heat there. And you know, it just... Where's the next step? The question, I think, for him. I don't think he ever gets that fight. I just don't see why he would.
Yeah. All right, well, Gabe, listen. It is what it is. We're going to have to talk to Al Gore, who invented this internet thing, and work out the kinks for next week. And let's face it, folks, it's not like there's a lot going on. We're going to call it a day. We've given you 45 minutes. It's a truncated show. And I don't even know what we're going to talk about next week. So we're going to try to get this interface thing cleaned up. Because quite frankly, next week, we're really going to need some calls. So let's call it a day early. We apologize for the technical difficulties. So on behalf of Gabriel Montoya, this is Steve Kim saying, till the next round, which we promise will be longer. This is Steve Kim saying, goodbye, everybody.